National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back, looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the south, going down right here. All your shop talk going right into your ear hole the way it's supposed to be. We give it the way we give it, the way we get it, the way we live it, the way we experience it. Yeah, I said experience, where we experience it and all the above. We're talking about sports from the black perspective. And I'm your homeboy, Joseph Ward. Really going down. You know how we do, man. We give you the sports. We talk about it, find these stories. We give our opinions. We give some facts. All these different here. All this different there. Then you throw your hands in the air and shake your derriere, yeah, because these three words mean getting busy. Whoop, there it is. Okay, or these three words mean getting busy. Fix Sports Podcast. Ooh, shoot. Yeah, I know. Whatever. Hey, man, remember, if you dig this show, which I already know you do, so go ahead and become a patron on Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/fix and become a patron of the Fix Sports Podcast. And that's you giving your support to us so we can continue doing what we do, build, grow, expand, and, you know, take over the world with your help, of course, because, you know, we can't do it without you all. Because, hey, if y'all ain't listening, what we talking for? You know what I'm talking about? So, shout out to everybody who support me already, right? But once again, www.patreon.com/fix. That's patreon.com/thefix. And remember, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants give you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the YouTube channel, the African History Curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store. Just go in there and type in On the Shoulders of Giants, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as educational classes, lectures, speaking engagement, public appearances, all those different things on behalf of On the Shoulders of Giants. All you got to do is visit the website, www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. And remember, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America, will be coming soon. So make sure you get your copy. And if you already don't have your copies of On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1 and 2, you need to go get them. Volume 1 is North America. Volume 2 is Central America. And it's giving you the stories of the sons and unsung heroes of both continents. So if you're going to get 3, because I know you're going to get 3, you might as well go ahead and get 1 and 2. So go ahead and make that happen. On the Shoulders of Giants. Hey, man. Really going down. Hey, man, shout out to my homeboy, Caleb. Him and his wife just had a baby. Young Junior, what we going to call him. So shout out to my dog, Caleb. He's a father. Caleb is a father. And he got a baby. And we're going to call him Young Junior. So y'all give a shout out to Young Junior. You know what I'm saying? And let me give you a rundown of what we discussing today on the Fit Sports Podcast. So our HBCU spotlight, we're shining on the Black College Football Class of 2019. It's announcing its class, so we're going to give them some love. Tyronn Lue was fired as the Cavs coach 6 games into the season. Simone Biles went out there and just dominated everybody with a damn kidney stone. You know what I'm saying? a basketball player on the Iona team is kicked off after punching the coach, but he said it was self-defense, so we're going to get all offense to that, right? So remember I was telling y'all about the DJ Durkin coach, coach from Maryland, who was placed on administrative leave after the player died, and they said that, you know, they was abusive and all those things and that toxic culture. So the coach was found abusive, but the culture not toxic. He was reinstated and then fired. So we're going to get all up into that. Going to give you an update on what's going on in the NBA. You know, give you some scores, some score updates on the NBA. Give you some NFL updates, scores and stuff from week 8 in the NFL. The Boston Red Sox are the 2018 World Series champions. So we're going to talk about that. A Houston, Texas high school called Yates High School is facing punishment after being accused of using ineligible players. But I know a young lady that lives in Houston, Texas, who gave me some information about this. So I'm going to read that, and I'm going to tell you what she told me. There's a dude, it says the Dominican, so one headline says, it says Venezuela, one headline says Dominican Republic, but some dude tattooed Michael Jordan's jersey on his whole back, like the back of the Bulls jersey on his whole back. That boy crazy. So we're gonna talk about his ass. Then our Friday rant is aimed at this lying ass girl who need her ass whooped, and she gonna get this shit sued out of her, and I hope she do. Goddamn girl trying to mess this man life up. She already derailed what he was doing, but trying to mess this man life up. The former Ohio State player, he's cleared of rape charges after the accuser admits to lying. So we're going to go in on her ass. Fuck that. So because it's so many people out here who really dealing with these issues for her ass to be out here lying and shit. So we're going to go in on her. So you know how we do it. Let's start with our HBCU spotlight as we get to talk about this 2019 Black College Football Hall of Fame class. Soon as my computer starts acting like a bitch, we can get on with the story. Yeah. All right, so the Black College Football Hall of Fame announced its 10th class today, class of 2019. 7 inductees were selected from a list of 25 finalists who had been determined earlier by the Black College Football Hall of Fame Selection Committee. The class of 2019 includes Emerson Boozer of Maryland Eastern Shore, Hugh Douglas of Central State. Hubie. You know, he played in the league. Rich Tombstone Jackson of Southern, Frank Lewis of Grambling State, Timmy Newsom of Winston-Salem State, John Taylor of Delaware State. As player inductees and coach, Arnett Ace Mumford of Jarvis Christian College, Bishop College, Texas College, and Southern University. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, we congratulate the class of 2019, said Black College Football Hall of Fame co-founder and 2011 inductee, Doug Williams. To be inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame in its first 10 years is quite an honor. Just to take a look at those historical names. Votes were tallied from the 12-member selection committee comprised of prominent journalists, commentators, and historians, as well as former NFL general managers and executives, and from previous Black College Football Hall of Fame inductees to determine the inductees. Class of 2019 will be honored at the 10th annual Black College Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony presented by the Atlanta Falcons on February 16, 2019, the same day that On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3 Central America comes out. So I forgot to say that earlier, too. So February 16, 2019. And that's my mama's birthday and my homeboy Caleb's birthday. I was telling everybody just had a baby. That's his birthday, too. So going down. The induction ceremony takes place at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. So that day, it's going to go down on February 16th. My mama's birthday, Caleb's birthday, my book coming out, the Black College Football Hall of Fame. Really awesome! All right. The inductees will also be recognized at the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta on December 15th. So, Emerson Boozer is a running back from Maryland Eastern Shore, two-time first-team All-American, SWAC Hall of Fame, selected by the New York Jets in the sixth round in the 66th draft, also selected by the Steelers in the seventh round of the 66th draft, played for the Jets for 10 seasons, two-time AFL All-Star. He led the league in rushing touchdowns in 67. He won the AFL Championship in 68. Super Bowl III. He was a member of the New York Jets, Ring of Honor, and the College Football Hall of Fame. So, Hugh Douglas, went to Central State, two-time NAIA Division I All-American, made 42 sacks in 32 games in a three-year collegiate career, led his team to an NAIA National Championship in 93, selected by the New York Jets, 16th overall pick in the 95 draft, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, 95, played for the Jets from 95 to 97, played for the Eagles from 98 to 02, and then again in 2004, played for Jacksonville in 03, three-time Pro Bowl selection, two-time first-team All-Pro. So that's Hugh Douglas. We already know about Hugh. Rich Tombstone Jackson was a defensive end at Southern from 62 to 65. He played both sides of the ball and was on the track. He won the NAIA shot put competition in 62. Still holds the Louisiana collegiate record for shot put at 58-1. Undrafted free agent by the Oakland Raiders in 66. Played for the Denver Broncos from 67 to 72. Played for the Browns in 72. In seven seasons, he made three Pro Bowls, three times first-team All-Pro, finished the career as the Broncos' all-time leader in sacks. He's the inaugural. He's an inaugural member of the Broncos' ring. The Broncos' Ring of Fame. So yeah, I messed that all up. Chopped that shit up. Frank Lewis was a player. He was a wide receiver at Grambling from 67 to 70. He helped Grambling win the 68 SWAC title. In 69, led Grambling in rushing and receiving yards, scored 42 touchdowns in college, third-time All-SWAC at receiver, selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round in the 71 draft. He was the eighth overall pick. Played for the Steelers from 71 to 77, played for the Bills from 78 to 83, played 13 total seasons, made Pro Bowl in 81, two-time Super Bowl champion. Timmy Newsom was a player. He was a running back, went from Salem State from 67 to 79, missed from 76 to 79, led the CIAA in rushing and scoring three seasons, three-time CIAA Offensive Player of the Year, two-time Division II All-American under head coach Bill Hayes. Newsom led the Rams to undefeated season in 78 and 79, selected by the Cowboys, going down in the sixth round of the 80 draft, played from Cowboys from 80 to 88, He was a CIAA Hall of Fame, Winston-Salem State Athletic Hall of Fame. John Taylor, wide receiver. Same John Taylor. Oh, man, this is John Taylor that played for the 49ers. Oh, shoot, John Taylor. And John Taylor that played for San Francisco with Jerry Rice now. Okay. So John Taylor was Delaware State. Okay. Okay. I learned something new. All right, so John Taylor, he was number 82. He played for Delaware State. He was number 82 for the 49ers, right? Played for Delaware State from 83 to 85, scored 42 touchdowns for Delaware State. He scored 15 touchdowns his senior season. He holds the MEAC record for most career points at 254. He's the MEAC Offensive Player of the Year in 85, selected by San Francisco 49ers in the third round of the 86 draft. He's a two-time Pro Bowl selection, three-time Super Bowl champion, NFL 1980s All-Decade Team. He made that. He's Delaware Sports Hall of Fame. So, and Coach Arnett Ace Mumford, he coached at Jarvis Christian College from 24 to 26. He coached at Bishop College from 27 to 29. Texas College from 31 to 35. From 36 to 61. He led the Southern Jaguars football team to five Black National Championships. The all-time winningest coach at Southern won or shared 11 SWAC championships at Southern, inducted into the College Hall of Fame in 01. Also coached Southern to the 41 Black National Championship in basketball. Wow. Retired with the record of 195-104-2. Damn, man. Ain't won a basketball championship. So that's what's up. So that's the Black College Football 2019 Hall of Fame class. So y'all, man, y'all put y'all hands together for that class. Man, they're doing the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2019 Black College Football Hall of Fame class. Really going down in the south. All right. So, after 6 games into the 2018 season without LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers said to Tyronn Lue, "We can't rock with you no more, cuz. You got to go. You out of here as our coach." The headline is he was abruptly fired, right? So, Coach Tyronn Lue's opportunity to lead the post-LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers lasted only 6 games. The Cavaliers abruptly fired Lue on Sunday after an 0-6 start that left them as the only winless team in the Eastern Conference. Lue, who was 41, has nearly 2 full seasons and the rest of this season remaining on the $35 million contract he received after the Cavaliers title run in 2016. So, he's still getting his money. Believe that. He's going to get his money. "This was a very difficult decision," Cavaliers GM manager Kobe Altman said in a statement. He continued, "We have respect and great admiration for Ty, not only as a coach, but as a person. They have to say that. We thank him for the many ways he has contributed to our success. Wish him the best, and he will always be remembered for leading a very special Cavs team back against the odds to win the title in 2016. Yeah, that's why he fired him. "This is a different team equation, though, and one that we felt needed a different voice and approach that required this change." Larry Drew, an associate head coach who had been with the team since 2014, has been named the interim head coach. The timing of the change stunned many around the league despite Cleveland's winning start, given that this team was widely expected to miss the playoffs after James elected to lead the Cavaliers in free agency for the second time in his career by signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. In addition, Cleveland has played the past 2 games without Kevin Love, its long remaining all-star, because he has been sidelined with a foot injury. Love missed 3 of the Cavaliers' 4 exhibition games with the foot ailment and tried to play through the injury with mixed success when the regular season began. So, hold on, I missed my spot. Love quickly posted a picture with Lue via social media thanking the coach for their time together along with the caption that read, "In part, nothing but love and admiration." James also sent a message on Twitter thanking Lue for the partnership that brought a championship in a major professional sport in Cleveland in 2016 after a 52-year drought to the whole city. He said the whole city. In a statement shared by Mark J. Spears of the Undefeated, Lue thanked coaches and players, saying, "I only wish the organization success moving forward." This is Mark Spears. "My time here in Cleveland," this is Mark Spears tweeting what Tyronn Lue said. "My time here in Cleveland was truly special. I'm very grateful for the dedication, sacrifice, and support of all the players on our team, the tremendous coaches I worked with, and, of course, our incredible fans. Lastly, deeply thanks to Dan Gilbert, David Griffin, and Kobe Altman for the opportunity over the last 3 years, and I only wish the organization success moving forward." Hey, yeah, you should be thanking LeBron. That's the only reason you were still there, because of LeBron. So, but never mind. Lue, one of only 6 active coaches who have won a championship, posted a regular season record of 128-83 after taking over for David Black in January 2016. Yet there have been news media reports in Cleveland in recent days about a philosophy clash between Lue and the Cavaliers management about whether to prioritize young players over veterans such as J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver. Lue took a leave of absence in March that caused him to miss 10 games last season because of chest pains and other health-related concerns, but he returned to help steer the Cavaliers past the Indiana Pacers in the 7-game playoff series with the first round and ultimately leading them to the 4th consecutive NBA Finals. So, farewell, Tyronn. Tyronn Lue wasn't a bad coach. He wasn't a great coach. Of course, he wasn't a coach for this team. But I hate to see people lose their job, especially when Tyronn, they ain't really give him time to do something this season. So, basically, it's he was there because LeBron was there, and LeBron was able to erase a lot of other stuff. But, you know, and LeBron favored Tyronn Lue as well. So. But there it is, though, man. Tyronn Lue is out as the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hey, man, guys, Godspeed, Tyron. Godspeed. You'll get you another job, man. You'll be all right because you live. And you got that money coming in. You got the millions coming in. You got that. Because you're going to get the rest of your $35 million, bro. And you're gonna get another job somewhere doing something, either in TV or coaching. So, or, you know, so. One time, Tyron. Plant a tree for tomorrow. So Simone Biles leads the USA team to victory, to a world title, even though she had a kidney stone. When most people get kidney stones, they're usually bedridden and suffering from extreme pain. While gymnast Simone Biles get kidney stones, she puts treatment on hold to prep her team to help her team land a top spot in the world championships. You gotta drink more water, Simone. Yeah, I gotta drink more water. You're getting kidney stones. Drink more water. Less than 24 hours after spending most of the night in the ER, Biles led Team USA to first place in the 48th Artistic Gymnastics Championships in Doha, Qatar. Securing a spot in the Tokyo 2020 games. The win was the largest point victory by a U.S. team in the World Championships thus far. Biles had the highest individual scores for beam, vault, and floor events, and the second highest for uneven bars with a kidney stone. I'm gonna add the kidney stone every time. Oh, and she had a vault named after her young kidney stone. The kidney stone can't wait, she said on Twitter, doing it for my team. Young kidney stone. Kidney stone can't wait. So, I've been having stomach pains like on my right side for 2 days, Biles said in an interview. We got tests done to see what it was, and they found the kidney stone. But she didn't have the stone removed after the diagnosis. The four-time Olympic gold medalist decided instead to deal with the problem after the championships. So, what kept her going through the pain? She said it was excitement. The adrenaline definitely helped because even when I'm walking or doing some stretches, I'm in a bit of pain, she said, so adrenaline helps. I bet it do. So she got her little glory moment walking off. But it ain't a walk-off, but you know she got her Jordan moment, her Jordan flu moment. So winning, bringing her team, help her team win the world championship with a kidney stone. Hey, man, put y'all hands together, man. Ain't no kidney stone until possible against the moment about it. No kidney stones help against the mobile. It don't work. No kidney stones help against the mobile. It won't work. No kidney stones help against come on by, it won't work. So one time for Simone, damn proud of you for leading your team to the championships, and the gladiator in me is proud of you for pushing through the pain, but the rationalist inside of me is saying, don't kill yourself for them white folk. You know, that's how I think. If you don't like how I think, it don't even matter, because I'm going to think how I think, like I think when I think, you know what I'm talking about? So, hey, let's get into this, right? An Iona basketball player was kicked off the team after punching a coach, but he said it was self-defense, right? So his name is Roland Griffin, said Friday he was kicked off the team and suspended from the school for punching assistant coach Garfield Johns multiple times following an argument about the schoolwork. Johns was hospitalized with injuries to his face, according to the website Stadium. Griffin told Stadium that he was defending himself in a physical altercation that broke out at an Iona practice in the men's locker room on Monday. Griffin claimed Johns attempted to wrestle him to the ground after a verbal argument regarding tutoring. He responded in self-defense. It was really heated, Griffin said. He eventually grabbed me by the jacket and tried to throw me on the ground physically. We were against the locker, wrestling against the locker. He was grabbing and holding me. He tried to wrestle me down, and I ended up on top. Yeah, that didn't sound right. Well, hey, he tried to wrestle me and I ended up on top. I'm not going to let another man physically do that to me. I punched him 4 or 5 times, then I stopped. Griffin said that he and his mother filed a police report on the incident on Friday. Iona College, however, acted swiftly and appeared to defend Johns after the incident took place. Griffin was informed by Coach Tim Cluis and the athletic department on Wednesday that he faced disciplinary suspension through May of 2020, effectively suspending him from class and removing his athletic eligibility at the college. Allen College said in a statement on the matter, Allen College takes all matters of health and safety seriously. We take every action necessary to ensure the well-being of the members of our community. The college does not comment on student disciplinary matters or student information. Griffin, who was a 6'7" forward, was a Gales top recruiting player for the season after averaging 11.2 points in 2017-2018, was a transfer from Illinois State. So, what's their real investigation in this case? Because if there was no investigation and nobody sitting down to see what the hell really happened, then how can you suspend the man? How much information do they have? How much information don't they have? Because you can't just suspend it. Was it a black-white issue? I don't know. But that's one thing I don't like. Like, the players are held to a higher standard than the grown-ass men. They, like, these schools really expect more out of 18 to 21-year-olds than they do out of 35, 45, 55, 65, 75-year-olds. Now, I'm not saying that Griffin didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. I don't have the evidence. But I'm also not saying that the coach did something right or wrong. I don't have evidence. But what I am saying is, how do somebody get just kicked out of school? Basically, they expelled him from school and saying, your expulsion will last from 2018 to 2020. And you can't go to this school. You can't play ball here no more. You out of here because you hit a coach. But if what he's saying is true, if the coach did wrestle him to the ground, then him just being suspended with no real investigation is fucked up. Like, how does that happen? Like, what adults was over this and just said, well, if this was said, we're not going to look into this. We just going to just whatever, going to get this hooligan out of our school because he shouldn't be doing these things anyway. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's wild. That's crazy. I don't know. I'm not defending young Griffin, but I'm not defending Garfield either. I don't remember the coach's last name, but I remember his first name is Garfield, right? Can't forget Garfield. So was Garfield wrong? Was Griffin wrong? Who was right? Because you do have a right to defend yourself. Garfield Johnson, coach name, but at the same time, we do know some people are crazy. Some people do be doing crazy shit. I don't know. We don't know in this situation because we don't have enough information. But I'm just saying everybody should be given a fair chance of, you know, being heard out and an investigation and all that. Unless you got, like, overwhelming evidence to be like, oh, nah, man, Griffin was about that bullshit. Griffin was out there fucking up and all these things. And if you got that, then that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother thing. But if you ain't got that, then y'all acted on some bullshit. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And see, I don't know, man. Let's say young Griffin is telling the truth. How do he defend himself against the mighty, mighty Iona basketball program in the NCAA with just his mother? Better get him a lawyer, a good lawyer, to help him out. This is a sticky situation. I don't know because I don't have all the information. I wish I did. You know me, sticky situation. But I don't like taking sides if I don't know the full story. So I do know this is a sticky situation. That's what I do know. Yeah. So that was young Griffin, Roland Griffin, and he got into it with his coach Garfield Johns. So I don't know, man. I know you can't, if you're a coach, you can't be putting your hands on people. You definitely can't be jacking up no damn student. Get your ass whooped. Like, let's say he for real, like, let's say that really happened and he's jacking up some student. Then you get your ass whooped like that, man. I don't know. I don't know. We're going to do our best to keep up with the story and give y'all some more information on the come up. So let's move on. It's going up to Maryland, Eastern Shore. Not the college, but just Maryland, the Eastern Shore of the United States. Right. So, DJ Durkin, like I said in the intro, DJ Durkin, they said he was found to be abusive but didn't have a toxic culture. He was then reinstated as the football coach, as the head football coach of Maryland, and then fired. You know, all this following the death of offensive lineman Jordan McNett. So one day after suspended, University of Maryland football coach DJ Durkin was reinstated. School's outgoing president fired him. One day after being reinstated, he was fired. He shouldn't have been reinstated. That was a mistake for them to reinstate him. In the wake of the offseason death of lineman, offensive lineman Jordan McNair, Durkin was on administrative leave while the university waited on two reports. One into the medical treatment of McNair. One into the medical treatment McNair received, and the other into the football team's coaching. The latter report released Tuesday by the University System of Maryland's Board of Regents, and Durkin received the okay to return to leading the school's team, which has a 5-3 record. Without his ass, right? But University President Wallace D. Lowe, who said Tuesday he would retire next year after helping implement reforms to improve the well-being of athletes, denounced Durkin's dismissal. Yeah, the president didn't want his ass back, but the Board of Regents did. Lowe said he talked with the students and faculty about Durkin being allowed to return, and most expressed serious concerns about the coaching, about the coach remaining. He said he had raised concerns with the Regents over the coach coming back. This is not at all a reflection of my opinion of Coach Durkin as a person, Lowe said. However, a departure is in the best interest of the university. Offensive coordinator Matt Canada will return to his role as interim coach. The team is host to Big Ten Four Michigan State University on Saturday. So the medical reports found problems in response to McNair's symptoms. Durkin and some members of the athletic staff have been on administrative leave since August. The university have parted ways with its strength coach, Rick Court. An independent medical report found several issues with the treatment of McNair, including failure to access his vital signs, not having proper cooling devices, and failure to recognize quickly he was having heat illnesses. More than an hour passed before University of Maryland football player trainer called 911 after McNair first showed symptoms of heat stroke. That's what the report said, which was issued in September, and McNair died in June. Rod Walters, who submitted the medical report, said he did not make a determination as to whether McNair's death was an accident or due to negligence. McNair's father, Marty, had called for Durkin's dismissal and told ESPN he was grateful to Lowe for choosing to fire the coach. And it's a step in the right direction to try to put some closure to this, he told ESPN. I know we still have a long way to go, but at least knowing that I'm confident and comfortable with Dr. Lowe making the decision, and he stands behind this decision. So the Regents chairman is saying not fair to put all the blame on coach. University recently received the second report, which concentrated on the football program as a whole. It found the Maryland football team did not have a toxic culture, but did have a culture where problems festered because too many players feared speaking out. It also said Durkin and leadership in the athletics department failed to supervise Court the strength coach properly. Court is the strength coach, so they didn't supervise him properly. School announced Durkin and athletic director Damon Evans would keep their job. In a statement Tuesday, the Regents said the university has created an independent monitor to oversee athletic reforms at a College Park campus. After taking the time necessary to gather and thoroughly review the facts, and based on what we know today, the Board of Regents believes that the university bears responsibility for what happened to Mr. McNair and will live up to its responsibility. Regents Chairman James T. Brady said, in this coming week, I expect the Office of Attorney General will conclude its legal review and advise the university and system as to the next step. Brady told reporters, we believe Coach Durkin has been unfairly blamed for the dysfunction in the athletic department, and while he shares some responsibility, it is not fair to replace all the blame at his feet. McNair took turn for worse. Staff called 911. So that's what happened to McNair. But as you can see, this is the whole mess that's going on. So the president isn't there no more. He fired Durkin. Strength coach been gone. The young man is dead. And we're going to see what happens next. I mean, I don't know. So maybe they'll get a new president and rehire Durkin to move forward with a new coach or something. I don't know, but this is all some bull. It's all full of bull. And then y'all got to check these schools out. Y'all parents got to stay on these schools, stay on y'all children, and stay on these schools like you did when I was in elementary school. Hell, show up out the blue sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Some of these coaches crazy as fuck. That's what we got going on here with DJ Durkin now. So I don't know this whole Maryland thing, but it's an issue with the Board of Regents wants to keep around, you know, because the Board of Regents have power and influence. So that's an issue. So I know what it's like to be around a school with a Board of Regents that's not for the school. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So that's the latest. That's what's going on with DJ Durkin in the University of Maryland. And he's out of there. President is out of there. Chunking the deuces at a whole lot of other stuff. So, yeah. So, man, let's talk some sports. Let's talk some sports real quick. Like, let's do a little NBA update. You know what I'm talking about? Talk about some NBA scores. And we're going to go from last week to this week. So, from last Thursday to this Thursday. That's how we're going to go on the 25th. To the first. Once this computer stops acting like a little bitch, you can get somewhere. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. I'll give you $2 if you tell me what movie that comes from. You can't tell me, I ain't giving you no money. But if you can tell me, I'm gonna give you some money, huh? You hear me? This thing runs slower than a bit. Making me look bad, cuz. You making me look bad, cuz. I'm on here trying to spit my facts, cuz. And you running slow, cuz. All this here. You hear me? So, hold on, let's see if we good. Okay. Okay, we getting somewhere. Oh, look it now. We getting, all right, we here. Suck it now. All right, so first game starting with the 25th, October 25th. The Trailblazers beat the Magic 128-114. Cavaliers lost to the Pistons 110-103. Celtics beat the Thunder, actually, 101-95. The Lakers beat the Nuggets 121-114. The Warriors beat the Knicks 128-10. Starting Friday, the 26th, October 26th, the Warriors beat the Knicks 128-100. The Hornets beat the Bulls 135-106. Their Mavericks lost to the Raptors 116-107. Clippers beat the Rockets 133-113. Pelicans beat the Nets 117-115. The Bucks beat the Timberwolves 125-95. And the Kings beat the Wizards 116-112. Saturday, October 27th, Jazz beat Pelicans 132-111. Celtics beat the Pistons 109-89. The Bulls beat the Hawks 97-85. 76ers beat the Hornets 105-103. The Pacers beat the Cavaliers 119-107. Trailblazers lost to the Heat 111-120. The Bucks beat the Magic 113-91. Grizzlies beat the Suns 117-96. The Spurs beat the Lakers 110-106. Sunday the 28th, the Warriors beat the Nets 120-114. The Jazz beat the Mavericks 113-104. The Suns lost to the Thunder 117-110. The Clippers beat the Wizards 136-104. 76ers beat the Hawks 113-92. Trailblazers beat the Pacers 103-93. The Kings beat the Heat 123-113. The Knicks beat the Nets 115-96. The Warriors beat the Bulls 149-124. That's the game that Klay Thompson went off. He had like 50-something points. He just went off. He had like 36 points in the first half. Yeah. He broke a record with 14 three-pointers in the game. He just went off. The Timberwolves beat the Lakers 124-120. The Bucks beat the Raptors 124-109. The Spurs beat the Mavericks 113-108. And the Nuggets beat the Pelicans 116-111. The 30th, October, Tuesday, October 30th, the Hornets beat the Heat 125-113. Cavaliers beat the Hawks 136-114. Celtics beat the Pistons 108-105. Kings beat the Magic 107-99. The Raptors beat the 76ers 129-112. The Trailblazers beat the Rockets 104-85. The Thunder beat the Clippers 128-110. The Grizzlies beat the Wizards 107-95. And Wednesday night, the Nets, Wednesday night, which was Halloween, the Nets beat the Pistons 120-119. The Pacers beat the Knicks 107-101. The Nuggets beat the Bulls 108-107. The Timberwolves beat the Jazz 128-125. The Spurs beat the Suns 120-90. The Lakers beat the Mavericks 114-113. The Warriors beat the Pelicans 131-121. So, you know, and I have more scores for you from Thursday to Thursday. I'll update you. Just in case you missed it, I got you. That's the NBA. So, NFL, week 8 of the NFL. If you're an NFL lover like myself, you like that football, that good football, well, go on out there and play that football, that boy. All right, so the Texans beat the Dolphins 42-23, right? Now, Deshaun Watson, the baller, DeAndre Hopkins is a baller, all that. Now, the Texans just traded for Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver Demaryius Thomas that played for Denver Broncos. So the Texans just added him to their roster. So we're going to see how that works out. That's interesting. That's interesting that they got Demaryius Thomas. That improves their passing game because Demaryius Thomas can get the job done, even though Demaryius Thomas hasn't played at the level he played at since Peyton Manning was there. But we know he's a good receiver, but he has been kind of ghosting since Peyton been gone. But, you know, in all fairness, the quarterback's been trash, but we've been hearing by the name Sanders. But, you know, that's what's going on. So the Texans got Demaryius Thomas in the trade. The Eagles beat the Jaguars 24-18, and the Jaguars been on losing streak. I think they lost their last four after, you know, winning like the first three, going out there talking shit. We ain't heard shit from Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, I want to hear you talking, dog. I want to hear you talking. Same way you was talking when y'all were winning, Jalen. I want to hear you talking, dog. Don't change. Don't change up. Keep talking. Keep talking. B-U-B-B-U-B. Now, the Eagles just got Golden Tate. So I think the Texans got the Demaryius for a sixth round, and the Eagles got Golden Tate, I think, for a fourth round. So that's interesting that the Eagles got Golden Tate because that does improve their passing game because everybody know Golden Tate get the goddamn job done. So that improves them. So the Redskins got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and I think Ty Montgomery. So because the Packers got rid of two people. Ty Montgomery went to the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, and then Ha-Ha Clinton Dix went to the Redskins. And, you know, Cowboys got Amari Cooper. I told you about that. So, now, speaking of the Ravens, as they got Ty Lawson, the dude from the Packers, right? So, he went to the Ravens. But last week, the Ravens lost to the Panthers 36-21. The Chiefs continued their winning ways. And they beat the Broncos 30-23. Patrick Mahomes is the front runner for the MVP. The Browns lost to the Steelers 33-18. And, you know, Hugh Jackson is fired as the coach of the Browns. Yeah, Hugh Jackson is out of there. He gone. They got rid of his ass. So I'm not sure why they waited this long. I'm not sure what happened at this point. I guess that's this show that Cleveland really still don't have it all together, because Hugh Jackson probably shouldn't have started this season. You're going to fire? I mean, it just wasn't working out. The man only won 3 games in like 2 or 3 years. Come on, man. It wasn't working out. So. Yeah. But that's what happened in Cleveland. Hugh Jackson is gone after they got beat by the Steelers 33-18. I guess they thought this was going to be another good game, another tie, something like that. I don't know. Guess they also they felt like it took too long to put Johnny Manziel in, something I don't know. But anyway, the Seahawks beat the Lions 28-14. The Buccaneers beat the Bengals. Buccaneers lost to the Bengals 34-37. Jameis Winston with his interception meltdown. I mean, how many interceptions did Jameis have? Now, Jameis Winston has been benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Jameis Winston went 18-35, 276 yards, 1 touchdown, and 4 picks. They've been saying that Deshaun Jackson is asking for a trade. So moving forward, I know this next game, the Buccaneers will start Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jameis Winston is on the bench. And the thing with Jameis is not only does he have the off-the-field issues, but he hasn't gotten better as a quarterback. Because it's not like Jameis can't do it, but you don't see him getting better. And you see regression and then plateau. Regression, plateau. Regression, plateau. And it's not an improvement. So I don't think Jameis is that dude. And he was like a very, 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 very high pick. So could Jameis be a long-term bust? He could. He could. But Jameis put up some numbers, though, man. But Jameis just don't get it done in them. Winning department. So yeah. I really didn't think the Buccaneers should have put Jameis back in even after Fitzpatrick struggled. So moving on, the Bears beat the Jets 24-10. The Colts beat the Raiders 42-28, and the Colts may be finding their stride. The Redskins beat the Giants 20-13, and everybody clamoring for Eli to get benched. The Cardinals beat the 49ers 18-15. The Packers lost to the Rams 27-29. The Saints beat the Vikings 20-30. And the Patriots beat the Bills 25-6. So, that's the football. That's the football. So, talk about that baseball. Want to talk about that baseball? The Boston Red Sox are the 2018 World Series champions. I'm going to say that again. The Boston Red Sox are the 2018 World Series champions. The question is, are the Boston Red Sox Major League Baseball's team of the decade? Because in the 2010s, they have won four. They've won four championships. Right? Well, excuse me. This is their fourth title since 2004. Excuse me. This is their fourth title since 2004. But the question is, are they the team of this century so far? But the century kind of just started, so I don't know. But they did win the 2018 World Series champion. So all the way from the Fix Sports Podcast, they're home. You know how we do, man. Shout out to the Boston Red Sox. And this is Reverend Pettigrew, and God has ordained that ball to go over that fence for those Red Sox. Not a White Sox, not a Black Sox, but a Red Sox. Like Moses parting the Red Sea, the Red Sox was able to put the ball over the fence or into play so that man can matriculate around those bases and score and bring it home. See, it's just like when God wants you to understand how he's working for you, you hear me, he will sometimes put an obstacle in your way. So if I am a batter, and a pitcher is my opposition.
You hear me?
And that ball is a key to my salvation. So therefore, thine shall make sure that my stance is sound and solid, that I am loose in the hips to get a correct turn on the ball. I have the proper grip and hand and elbow position to get the quickest, you know, a movement of my back and make sure that I keep my eyes, thine eyes open and on the ball, because sometimes when the enemy is throwing the ball at you, right, and the enemy doesn't want you to win, right, because the enemy can see that power within you, and the enemy wants to stop you from being what God has ordained for you to be. But see, when you have what God has placed for you in your heart, when you have that in your heart, you cannot lose. And that's why you keep your eye on that ball. And that's why you have a solid stance down there in that batter's box. And that's why you have your hands gripped on that bat. And that's why you have your elbow up. And that's why when that ball is pitched, no matter if it's a curveball, no matter if it's a slider, no matter if it's a knuckleball, no matter if it's a fastball, no matter if it's any type of ball that the enemy throws at me, I'm going to hit that ball at that park. I'm going to hit that ball at that park. I said, I'm going to hit that ball at that park. I'm going to hit that ball because you would not stop me. I said, you would not stop me. I said, you would not stop me from reaching my goal. I said, I don't think y'all hear me or feel me up in here. I said, you would not stop me from reaching my goal because I'm going to hit that ball. I'm going to hit that ball. I'm going to hit that ball. And not only just hit that ball and put that ball in play, I'm gonna knock the ball out the park. I said, I'm gonna knock that baseball out the pin off because I have the power. There you go. Whew. I said, let me calm down. Ooh. I said, Red Sox, we defeated that enemy, and we did it, and we did it. I said, we won that Super Bowl. We won that Super Bowl. Excuse me, this ain't no Super Bowl. You got the wrong sport. We talking about World Series. We talking about baseball. And we talking about beating that enemy. We talking about that batter's box. And we talking about that curveball. And we talking about that Louisville slugger. And we talking about that batter's helmet. And we talking about the pitcher spitting on the ground. And we talking about home runs. And we talking about triples and doubles and singles. And we talking about base hits. And we talking about stolen bases. We talk about the clay on the ground. We talk about the socks that you wear. We talk about the cleats that you wear. We talk about the clothes that you wear. Because the enemy would not stop me. He won't. So when that ball comes, I'm going to hit that ball, and I'm going to hit that ball at the park. And put your hands together, yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, hashibakim, ooh, hashibakim, ooh, hashibakim. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you, Reverend Pettigrew. Thank you. Thank you. That was spirited, Reverend Pettigrew. Ooh, Reverend Pettigrew had me rolling on the ground there, huh? Yes, sir. So one time for the Boston Red Sox winning the 2018 World Series, and one time for Reverend Pettigrew. So, and Boston won it in 5 games. The Dodgers won Game 3. Boston won Game 1, 8-4. Boston won Game 2, 4-2. The Dodgers won Game 3, 3-2. which went 18 innings, looked like. I don't know. I said 18 in parentheses. I don't know. That was game three. Game four, Boston won 9-6. In game five, Boston won 5-1. So, going down. One time for the Boston Reds. So. All right, so a high school in Houston called Yates High School. It's a lot of controversy because games were removed, wins were removed from their schedule because it was said that they used ineligible players and they are facing punishment. So let me read this to you, what's in the headline, then I'm going to tell you what my homegirl told me. So the Yates High School Lions will forfeit their wins this season after being caught using ineligible players. Yates used ineligible players in their 37-26 win over rival Wheatley High School last week. Now, as punishment, Yates will forfeit their win over Wheatley as well as their other win over Washington High School Eagles. Yates football head coach Michael Watkins has also been suspended. Now, my homegirl is saying that Yates is a black high school, and that coach is not liked by the white constituents or black sellouts. That school is targeted often, and people don't want Yates to win. Now, did he? They're saying he allegedly used. People in the city who support the school are saying he allegedly used. Like, there's no real, they don't know the whole story if they have real evidence of him using ineligible players. So the school system and other people are saying that, you know, they have evidence of him using ineligible players. So those two games that they said the players were ineligible, those games were taken back. So those are like losses on the schedule or two games that's just vacated on the schedule. So that will definitely impact their season, their wins and all those things. That could be the difference between you going to the playoffs and not. But so people are saying this is a witch hunt. And people are also saying, well, from one side, people are saying this is a witch hunt. It's some bullshit. And the other side, they're saying, well, he cheated. I don't know. I'm just trying to find out all the information. Did he really use ineligible players? Now, if he did use ineligible players, you can't, and you get caught, I mean, come on, you got to take your lumps on the chin. You know, can't be using it. You really shouldn't be using ineligible players. I ain't saying you can't. I know people do it all the time. It's not right. You shouldn't be using ineligible players. I'm not saying everybody does it, but we do know ineligible players do get used. But if you get caught cheating, then, you know, you got to go ahead and face the punishment. So I don't know all of the information about this. Trying to find out. I want to find out more. But, you know, this is how it goes down. But I did want to give you the story of the Yates High School Lions. And I think, yeah, this is in Houston, Texas. So when I find out more, I'm going to tell you more. There it is. So a man in, seems like, the Dominican Republic decided he wanted to tattoo Michael Jordan jersey on his back. So like a real full back tattoo, a real tattoo on his back that say, that's the back of Jordan's jersey. It says Jordan in 23. And the man that said, the man from the Dominican Republic. Yes, no. It might be a cool tattoo, but yes, no. You gonna tattoo another man's name on you like that, bro? You like Michael Jordan so much, you tattooed that man's name on you. If I was Michael Jordan, I'd be creeped out. I'd be a little flattered. That'll tweak my ego a little bit, but I'd be a little creeped out. I'd be like, bro, you really put another man's name on your back? That's for life, cuz. That's for life. You can't get rid of that unless you go through the extensive processes of having that thing removed. So at some point, you're going to feel like that's a dumbass tattoo. And you know it costs a lot of money. What didn't you buy? Or what could you have brought other than putting Michael Jordan, a tattoo of Michael Jordan's jersey, the back of his jersey, on your back? But you think Jordan was going to give you something or something? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Buddy got going on. Like, why was, what's the need? Like, I understand you're a Jordan fan. I understand. Like, do you have, are you married? You have a wife? You have a woman? Do you even have your, if you have a woman, and you, if you married and you ain't even got your woman name on you, you're going to have some problems. But for the, if you do have a woman, for the rest of y'all time together, she got to look at you with Michael Jordan's jersey on your back. I bet you walk around with your shirt off thinking you cool with another man's name on your back. See, this is what I'm talking about with fans. This is the craziness that I go into, that I talk to y'all about on a regular basis about fandom, about irrational people. Fans are irrational people. That was an irrational move. I love Michael Jordan so much, I'm going to put his jersey on my back. I love Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the light of my life. Bro, you crazy as hell, bro. You crazy as hell. I'm Emmitt Smith. I like Emmitt Smith. I like Allen Iverson. God damn, Sean had a tattoo. Neither one of them niggas' names on my back. Like, that's different. Like, bro, that's creepy. That's close to stalking. If I'm Jordan, I want to stay away from you, dog. I don't know what you would try to do to me. You'd probably try to keep me as a pet or try to kill me and take me to the taxidermy and stuff me and put me in your basement and come down and rub on me and stuff. Nah, bro, stay away from me, bro. You take stuff too far. Yeah, you that dude who takes stuff too far. We can't be friends because you crazy as hell. I love you, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, I love you so much that I want to put your name on my back. Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, I love you so much. I want to put your name on my back. I bet you this same dude got Michael Jordan everything. He got shoes, he got shirts, hats, jerseys, pants, suits. He probably got a whole Bulls warm up, got a velour suit, got a Michael Jordan shrine in his house, Michael Jordan posters everywhere. He probably named his kids Jordan, his dogs after Michael Jordan them. Probably got a homeboy named, went and found a homeboy named Scotty, changed his name to Jordan. A Michael. That's crazy, B. That's crazy. It sound cool to people who different, but to people who are sane, nah. Red flag, red flag, red flag. Buddy in Dominican Republic got Jordan whole back of his whole jersey and his whole back. With the name and the number. Jordan, 2-3. Hell no, bro. Hell no. We can't be friends. I don't know you. You being public. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. I'm act like I don't hear you. Hell no. You don't know me, bro. I am not Michael. I am not the Michael Jordan you are speaking of. Nope. 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 No, don't know you, bro. Look. I put your jersey on my back. I put your jersey on my back. Nah, bro. Who you with? DSG, be my clique. All the money that we can get. I ain't messing with you legit. Nah, bro. Where I'm from, we don't get down like that. Where I'm from, it's cool to have admiration for a man. It's cool to look up to a man. You know what I'm saying? It's cool to be inspired by somebody. Ain't nothing wrong with being inspired by another man. But this is crazy, though, dog. This is crazy. I understand Jordan is your favorite athlete of all time, favorite basketball player, but, bruh, you stay your ass away from me. Please, if I'm Michael Jordan, that's what I'm saying. You stay your ass away from me. Rich. Can we say restraining order?
fast. So yeah.
Tattoo buddy, bop bop. Look at me, bop bop. I put.
Nah, bro, you crazy. So, y'all know what time it is. Help with it. Boom, boom, boom. Friday rent, give it to y'all. Friday rent, gotta give it to y'all. Friday rent, gotta give it to y'all. And time to go in. All right, so this Ohio State football player is cleared of rape charges in his case after the accuser admits to lying. Oh! She tripped. She need her ass kicked. Sue the shit out of her, bro. I'm talking about. Sue her so bad 10 generations feel it. A former Ohio State running back avoided spending the next few decades in prison after being acquitted of raping an ex-girlfriend who admitted she lied about the assault after they broke up because she's a bitch. Breontae Dunn refused to plead to a lesser charge of misdemeanor assault to a Franklin County Ohio court, maintaining that the alleged 2017 rape allegation never took place. And insisting on his innocence, he faced up to 22 years in prison if convicted, but he stood up in the paint like a real one. There you go, Breontae. He stood up in there like a real one. These are very difficult cases because rape is a horrible crime, a heinous crime, said his attorney, Joe Landusky. After the trial had ended, it's just something that he didn't do. And we know not because the motherfucker lied. Dunn and the unnamed woman. Why y'all ain't gonna say her name? Fuck you, dusty booty girl. Spank ass girl. Her name gonna be Pussy Hope. How about that? Young Pussy Hope. That's gonna be her name. Y'all don't wanna tell us the name? We got a name for her. We got a name. Young Pussy Hope. That's how she get down. Dunn and Young Pussy Hope dated briefly last year after meeting on a dating app. So, and he admitted that they had a consensual sexual relationship. However, it had ended by August 20th around 4 a.m. Damn, they got time to end it. That's weird. He called her asking her for a ride. When she picked him up, she took him to her apartment to wait for an Uber car. But instead, she said Dunn climbed on her in bed and raped her. But in court, she testified that he had tried to initiate sexual contact with her, but he stopped when she spurned her. When she spurned him. In the morning, he woke up and left. That day, she reported the incident and underwent a sexual assault exam. However, she later recanted, saying no forceful act happened. Dunn maintained his innocence all along. The woman, Young Pussy Hoe, also came clean about contacting Dunn excessively after the alleged incident. She reached out to him at least 27 times with the expectation of an apology. If I believe he was really sorry about it, I wouldn't have reported it, she testified. You pussy bitch. You know how many black men have died over the years from shit like that, you pussy bitch. After 3 hours, the jury concluded that Dunn was innocent. But during their deliberation, prosecutors slid Dunn a plea deal of a lesser charge of misdemeanor assault. He left the deal on the table and continued to proclaim his innocence. My client has categorically rejected that offer, said Landusky. My client has told me, even I asked him, if they offer a minor misdemeanor, disorderly conduct, and suspended all fines and costs, would you take the deal? He says no, and his reason for that is because he's an innocent man. He's not just presumed innocent, but actually innocent. Dunn was a backup running back for the Ohio State Buckeyes from 2012 to 2015 when he was dismissed for violating team rules following the altercation with another girlfriend. He says he hopes this acquittal clears his name and wants to continue his football career, hoping to sign with the Alliance of American Football, a new league scheduled to debut next year. I can't wait for that league. So I'm happy that the whole world can see that I'm innocent. He said, I'm just trying to get back to my life and hopefully renewing my career. I hope the coaches will understand that I'm an innocent man like I am. I never thought an innocent man could get this far in the process. So fuck you, white pussy bitch. You need your ass whooped and he needs to sue the shit out of you. Sue this pussy bitch 10 generations down. If y'all don't like me calling her a pussy bitch, it don't matter. That's what pussy bitches do. If you don't like me calling her a pussy bitch, she should. I call dudes pussy hoes. I call dudes fuck niggas. I go in on dudes. I go in on men. I'm not going to spare her because she a woman and she fucked up. She could have had this man whole life fucked up. You know how many black men historically have been fucking murdered, eviscerated? How many black towns, how many black people have been fucking eviscerated for lies like this? Fuck that. She gets the book thrown at her. Fuck everything. They need to beat her ass. They need to lock her up and sell and have them whoop her ass every day. You want that man could have got 22 years of his life snatched away from him. And think about it. In between the time that she lied on him to now, that man could have been doing other stuff with his life, but nah, he had to be fucked up with this pussy bitch. She need her ass whooped. That's some sick, twisted, demented shit. I'm mad that you stopped messing with me, so I'm going to claim rape on you. But if you tell me you want to be with me and you sorry for breaking up with me, then I'll tell them that I lied. Nah, ho. Nah. Sue the shit out of that white girl. Somebody need to whoop her ass. She need to be arrested, have her ass whooped, and get rehab. Y'all know the process, though. But she need, let's hold off on the rehab, and let's do a lot more ass whooping. But it's stuff, stories like these boil my motherfucking skin, like homegirls say, they cook my grits. These shit like that cook my grits, because, like, it's just the historical precedence with this in white. Just the lies that white women, I keep telling y'all about these white women, man. White women have been so complicit and such allies in white men and terrorizing the rest of the world. Like, white women are not allies for the most part. For the most part, they're not allies. Like, Hillary Clinton ain't no ally. All these other white girls who be trying to be down, they're not allies. How are you an ally and you ain't did nothing? We need actions, not words. White women be acting like they're allies and they ain't did nothing but just make posts on Facebook. You ain't no ally because you make posts on Facebook or because you do screaming or you marching and stuff. How are you actively fighting white supremacy on a regular basis? This white girl ain't actively fighting white supremacy. She's helping to further white supremacy. She gonna lie on the dude because her fucking her emotions are caught up and her feelings are hurt. Fuck that. They need to drag her ass through the mud for 22 fucking years. This is not a mistake. This is not somebody who just made a mistake. That was a vicious attempt to derail this man's life. He should take that as a threat to his life, his livelihood, and everything. I would take it as a terroristic threat. I would be calling her. I would take it as that. I would take it that far. That's a terroristic threat on my life, my livelihood, my future, my way of living, my well-being, my mental health, my psychological health, my spiritual health, my physical health, everything about me, especially my economic health, my financial health. You've ruined me. That's a terroristic threat on me, and I take that serious, and I want you put on a terrorist list. I want you locked up. I want everything happening to you, because what you did was some fuck shit, and you know I was innocent. Oh, he was innocent. I'm saying like I'm him. And you know he was innocent, you stupid-ass girl. You need to have your motherfucking ass with that stupid-ass shit you doing. Hey, bro, leave them white girls alone. And you need to change something in you so you can attract better people in your life, because you seem like you may have a history of incidents with females. But this white girl, oh man, this is the deliberate. Oh well, I said it because he didn't like me anymore. Oh my God, fuck you. Fuck you and everything you stand for. Fuck your kids, the future kids you're going to have. Fuck your homework, that stringy-ass hair that come out your head, that stink-ass nose you got, ugly-ass eyebrows you got. I don't even know what she look like. I just know she ugly because ugly people do shit like that. We know her actions are ugly. We know her demeanor is ugly. We know everything about her ugly, so she ugly. So fuck her ugly ass. Fuck her. Somebody need to wipe their ass with her face. Fuck her and everything she stands for. She really tried to fuck this man life up. Fuck you, white girl. You stupid ass white pussy hoe. Fuck you. 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 That stuff make me fucking mad. It pisses me off because white women been doing this shit for hundreds of years. Oh, I don't get my way. You don't do what I tell you to do. Well, I have something for you, buddy. I'm going to call the cops on you, buddy. Man, these white. Man, look at him, man. Look at him. Look at him. Y'all got to start paying attention to what's going on. Start paying attention, paying better attention to what's going on. Start that. Like, if I don't get my way, you're going to go down. Fuck this white girl, man. This is ridiculous. It makes me mad, though, man, because the man didn't do anything but break up with the girl. And she want to mess this man's life up. Like, seriously, like, that's crazy. That's crazy, man. It's like, in his position, all you can do is just fight. And I applaud him and commend him for not taking the plea deal, but and that's some G shit right there. That's some G shit because most people take that shit. Even though they're innocent, they take the plea deal and still do some time and stuff, but he's still up in nothing like a G, man. So I got the hats off to him for that, man. Crazy, man. That, ooh. Ooh, man. Like that, like, oh man, that literally messes you up, man. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Wow. I just pray he's able to get his life back on track. I just pray everything keeps going. He's blessed to be successful in his future. And I hope that white girl get her ass whooped, get the fuck sued out of her, and then get some rehab and get her life back on track and be good sky at that. No, in the end, I don't want to see people, but fuck that. She, whoa, I'm trying to be nice with talking about get her life back on track. I'm trying to be nice. Fuck being nice, man. Fuck that. Whoa. God damn, man. Hey, man. I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network. Make sure y'all visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, we're on Patreon, www.patreon.com/fix. And then go down how we go down, and we keep it down how we keep it down. Oh, yeah, hey, sorry about this third week in a row I ain't have my show, my Monday show, this third week in a row, my punk-ass CenturyLink internet went out. So hopefully everything's fixed. They came by and fixed my shit, so hopefully this upcoming Monday I got a show for y'all. If not, fuck CenturyLink. But until then, I'm Joseph Ward. Two fingers in the air like you just don't care. I'm out of this mug. I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1. Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny, listen, I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one that can match me.